Good morning and welcome to the Let the Bible Speak program. I'm glad that you've joined us and I hope that our Bible study this morning will be encouraging. Last week, I wanted to make the point from God's Word that you can be a good person and still be lost. And we gave Bible examples of good people who were lost until they obeyed the gospel and were baptized into Jesus Christ. And I just don't want us to be uninformed about that. That is a topic today in the religious world where there is a lot of misunderstanding. Many, many people think that you can go to heaven by just simply being a good person. And that's simply not the truth. According to the New Testament plan of salvation, we have to hear the gospel, believe that Jesus is the Christ, repent of our sins, confess that Jesus is the Christ, and be baptized for the remission of our sins, and live faithfully each day. And that is the gospel plan of salvation in a nutshell. And we do not go to heaven simply by being a good person. And last week, we noticed Bible examples of this. We noticed in the example of Saul of Tarsus that you can have a good conscience and still be lost. We noticed from the household of Cornelius that you can have good qualities and actions in your life and still be lost. We noticed from the Jews on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 that you can be very religious and still be lost. And so, friends, you can be a good person and still be lost. And today I want to conclude this study and look at a few more examples in the scripture on this particular matter. It would be good to remember something that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. In verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day," that is the judgment day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And I begin this morning by referencing that just to remind us that a person can say, "Lord, Lord," and do some religious things, but still be lost because they have not done the will of my Father. Notice the doing, not just feeling or thinking, getting up and doing, not our will, but the will of my Father which is in heaven. And that will, that plan, is laid out in the New Testament gospel. It's not something inside of us, it's outside of us in the scripture. We have to read it and hear it and obey it in order to enter into heaven. So, we can be a good person and still be lost. Well, there are a few more examples that I'd like to look at this morning in this particular matter. And if you want to turn with me to Acts chapter 8, we're going to read about a religious person who traveled many miles to worship God and was reading the Old Testament scripture, but he was lost. You can be a religious person that travels many miles and reads the scripture and still be lost. You can be a religious person that is engaged in different activities that you think you need to be doing religiously and still be lost. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, we read about the conversion of a religious man who had traveled a great distance and who had been reading his Bible, if you will. But he was lost. He needed to be converted to Christ. Acts chapter 8 and verse 26, "An angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, the same as desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was over all her treasure, who had come to Jerusalem to worship." Notice that. He'd come to Jerusalem to worship. There would be a great distance that he had traveled from wherever he was in Ethiopia up to Jerusalem. He's riding along in a chariot. He'd gone that great distance to worship God as the Jews would worship. But this is the period of time in which being right with God is being a Christian under the New Testament gospel dispensation. That's what a person needs to be. So he had gone to worship there in Jerusalem, and he's coming back. And an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip and told him to go talk to this man who was religious, but he was lost. Notice how that God, through this angel and through Philip, wants religious lost people to be saved. God purposely sent Philip to a religiously lost person. And God wants the same for us today. And so he was returning and sitting in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Notice that. He had traveled a great distance and he was reading the scriptures, and from all intent and purposes, somebody might think, well, you know, this guy is saved. He's going to heaven. He's reading his Bible. But he's lost. He has not become a Christian. That's what he needs to be. Once Jesus died on the cross for the sins of all mankind, and the gospel, his New Testament gospel, went into all the world, that is the plan. The plan is no longer to worship in Jerusalem like the Jews did. The plan is to be a Christian and to obey the gospel and to be a member of the New Testament church. And this man needs to do that. So the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran to him, and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and said, do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I, except someone shall guide me? And he besought Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture which he was reading was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. For his generation who shall declare? For his life is taken from the earth. The prophecy in Isaiah 53 of Jesus dying on the cross. Verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest thou the prophet this, of himself or of some other? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, preached unto him Jesus. You can be a religious person, but you have not obeyed Jesus. You have not obeyed the gospel of Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, behold, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? In preaching Jesus, Philip preached water baptism, because Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. And so the importance of water baptism. Verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that alone did not save him. He clearly had faith in Christ, but that alone did not save him. Faith alone is a modern religious denominational teaching, but it's not the gospel teaching. So he believed, no question about that. But look at the rest of it. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Why did Philip do that? Because Jesus himself said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not he that believeth shall be saved and then later is baptized. That's not what Jesus said. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So that's why Philip baptized him, because it's a part of going with belief. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, for he went on his way rejoicing. So here's a man who had traveled a great distance. He was reading the scriptures. He was very religious, of course, but he's lost. And so he needed to hear the preaching of Jesus. He needed to put his faith in Jesus and confess that faith. He needed to be baptized into Christ and put on Christ, Galatians 3:26-27. Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be condemned. And so Philip and the other apostles in the book of Acts are simply carrying out that great commission. It's very important. So you can be a religious person traveling a great distance and even know something about your Bible, but still be lost. What about Saul of Tarsus. Let me mention another kind of person that can be lost. We mentioned Saul of Tarsus last week, but I want to come back and look at that just a little bit more. You can be a very religious and zealous person in serving the Lord. A person can be zealous as far as he understands that to be, as far as he has a level of knowledge. There are all kinds of religious people. Sometimes they will walk up and down the street and knock on doors, and they will be out in the elements, and they will try to take their religion to a lot of people. They are very zealous, but they're still lost. Sometimes zeal will manifest itself in many kinds of religious activities, a lot of effort, a lot of expenditure, and some religious people are very driven to practice their religion. Saul of Tarsus is a clear example of this. He was a Jew practicing Judaism, and we read about his conversion last week on the program in Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26, and how that he had gone to Damascus. In all three of those accounts, it said he had gone to Damascus to persecute Christians. He was very zealous against Jesus and Christians. He did not like them. He did not want that existing at all. And he thought that he was doing God's will by persecuting them. And this week, I want to impress upon this matter of zeal. I want to read Galatians chapter 1. In Galatians chapter 1, and verse 13 and following. Galatians 1:13, Paul, looking back on his former life, he writes, "For you have heard of my manner of life in time past in the Jews' religion." Well, if he's in the Jews' religion, why did he need to be baptized into Christ? Because after Jesus died on the cross, that's what people need to do. Prior to that, being in the Jews' religion, according to the law of Moses, not the traditions of men, of the Pharisees, but according to the law of Moses, that was the way for a Jew to be saved. But after Jesus' death on the cross, that was not the way to be saved. But Paul, here's Paul, after Jesus dies on the cross, he's still in that Jewish religion. He needs to make a change. So he says, "How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and made havoc of it. And I advanced in the Jews' religion beyond many of my own age among my own countrymen, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers." In Philippians chapter 3, verse 5 and following, he talks about his former life. And he says, "As to zeal, persecuting the church." Paul was very zealous, but he was lost. "But when it was the good pleasure of God who separated me even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, straightway I conferred not with flesh and blood." And he goes on to talk about how that he became a gospel preacher for Christ. But notice how he said that he was zealous. When you look back in the book of Acts, he talks about binding and delivering into prison both men and women, binding people and bringing them unto Jerusalem to cause them to blaspheme and be punished and so forth. People were scared of him. People feared him. Paul said that he would compel them to blaspheme, being exceedingly mad against them. "I persecuted them even unto strange cities." He mentions that in Acts 26. This man had a single-minded goal: get rid of Christians. But when he went into Damascus and was taught the gospel truth, he was baptized into Christ. His sins were washed away in baptism, Acts 22:16. He becomes a Christian. And that's what we need to be. Although he was sincere and zealous and very strong in his religion, he was lost and needed to make a change. Friends, we might need to do the same today. Sometimes people can be very zealous, but they're doing that without a proper knowledge. Paul will also write in Romans chapter 10 regarding his own Jewish brethren, "I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." He was doing something in persecuting the Christians that he didn't have the truth on. when the resurrected Jesus spoke with him and told him to go into Damascus, and there it would be told him what he would do. He got the truth and made a change. And we've got to be willing to do that as well. A very zealous religious person can still be lost. They're zealous, but it's not according to the knowledge and the truth of God's word. It might be what they were taught in the past. It might be the way they were raised, or a host of other reasons, but they need to make a change. Let's look at somebody else. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 26, let's look at another kind of person that can be lost. This is the kind of person who is almost a Christian. A person can be almost persuaded to obey the gospel and still be lost. I think about one time when Jesus spoke to a religious scribe. He said, "You are not far from the kingdom." Well, he's still not in the kingdom. He was close, and he moving in the right direction, but he was not in the kingdom. And so a person can almost be a Christian and be altogether lost. If a person was drowning in a lake and you throw them a life jacket or a life preserver, and they go down into the water and they come up and they're going down again, they're going to drown, and you throw them that life preserver, they're going to drown unless they take hold of that. They're not going to be saved if they almost take hold of it. They're going to have to take hold of that life preserver, and you pull them in. They can't almost take hold of it and stay above the water. You can call to them, "Hey, grab hold of the life preserver." It can be close to them, but they're going to have to reach out and take it. Almost is not going to get it. And it's the same with our salvation. A person can be in a burning building. They're going to burn up. If they're headed for the door and they almost get out, they're still going to burn up. If they almost escape out of the window into the arms of the waiting fireman, they're still going to burn. You've got to get out completely out of that burning building, not almost out. And it's the same with our salvation. In Acts chapter 26, Paul is preaching to a Jewish king, Agrippa, and others are around him. And he's giving a defense, and this is one of those places where he talked about his own conversion. Acts 9, Acts 22, Acts 26, he recounts his own conversion. And he's telling them why he's a changed man. Acts 26, 24, and as he made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art mad, and thy much learning is turning thee mad." But Paul said, "I am not mad, most excellent Festus, but speak words of truth and soberness. For the king knows of the things unto whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things is hidden from him, for this has not been done in a corner." Talking about Paul's work, he had been converted. He became an apostle for Jesus Christ. He's preaching the gospel, and people are being converted to Christ. Churches are being formed. People know all about this. This is not done in secret. "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe." And Agrippa said unto Paul, "With but little persuasion, or almost persuadest thou me to make me a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that whether with little or with much, not thou only, but also all that hear me this day, might become such as I am, except these bonds." Become such as I am. What is that? Paul was a Christian, and he wanted not only King Agrippa, but everybody listening to him to become a Christian. And the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they that sat with them. And when they had withdrawn, they spake one to another, saying, "This man doeth nothing worthy of death or of bonds." And Agrippa said unto Festus, "This man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar." They got up and walked off. I don't know if they ever obeyed the gospel or not. I hope they did. But Paul said, "Almost persuadest thou me, Agrippa said to Paul, excuse me, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. With just a little bit more. Notice that we have to be persuaded. Notice that the truth of the gospel has to persuade us. That's why we have to hear it and read it, study it, learn it, think about it. But that's not enough. We have to be fully persuaded and make the change to repent and be baptized for the remission of our sins. And so I hope that this man and his wife and others did it, but they didn't do it on this occasion. And so almost is still altogether lost. Friend, don't be like that. Don't be the person who hears the Let the Bible Speak program week after week, but never does anything with it. Don't be the one who hears the gospel invitation over and over again and just does nothing with it. Opens up your Bible and reads some and hears some, but does nothing with it. Almost is altogether lost. We don't want to be almost persuaded. We want to be fully persuaded and act upon that. So, it's something to think about. We're going to burn up in the building if we're almost out of the building. We're going to drown in the water if we almost go for the life preserver. And we're going to be lost eternally in hell if we just almost obey the gospel. I believe there are people today who hear the gospel. They might even believe it. They might even be willing to confess that Jesus is the Christ. They might even be willing to turn their back on an old life of sin because they've grown tired of that. But they just won't be baptized for the remission of their sins. They won't do that. They're just almost there. Friend, let me encourage you not to be like that. Paul said to him, I would to God that whether with little or much, that you would become such as I am. And I'm like that. I would to God. It is my prayer that you would become a faithful Christian like the Apostle Paul. Well, there's one other person that I want to talk about, if you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 19. One other category of person, and that is that you can be a religious person that has been baptized before and is still lost. And this might be a big surprise to a lot of people. How in the world can a religious person who has been baptized in the past still be lost? Well, there is something about that baptism that did not save him and does not save him. We actually have an example of this in Acts chapter 19. It's a little bit different than what is going on today, but similar also. What's going on today is that there are a lot of baptisms out there that are not Bible baptisms. They're not scriptural baptisms. Sometimes baptism is done by sprinkling and pouring water. That's not biblical. The word baptism means immersion. And it's immersion in water. We're buried with Christ, Romans 6, 3, 4, and 5. And baptism is an immersion in water. The word means to dip or to immerse. So sprinkling and pouring is not a valid baptism. So a person could maybe, as a baby or an infant, be sprinkled or have a little water poured. That's not a scriptural baptism. Another issue that you can have going on today is, for example, like I said, the infant. An infant, even if an infant was immersed in water, it's not scriptural because in the New Testament, it's the person who's old enough to hear and believe. In Acts chapter 18, we read that hearing, believed, they were baptized. Hearing, they believed and were baptized in Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. We've got to be old enough to hear the gospel. When Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the person who's old enough to hear that gospel and believe it. An infant, of course, can't do that. So it could be sprinkling or pouring. That's invalid. It could be that that happened with you as an infant. That's invalid. And it could be that it was for the wrong purpose. A lot of times today, baptisms, for example, in the case of infant baptism, it's to wash away your sins that you inherited from your parents. But babies and infants are innocent. Sin is an act that we commit. It's not something that we inherit from our ancestors. Another purpose of some baptisms today is to show that you're already saved. This is very common. You're saved by faith only, and then later you're baptized to show that you're saved. Well, that's not the case. Baptism is for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. It's to wash away sins, Acts 22:16. It saves, 1 Peter 3:21. It's a part of saving because it's the part at which our sins are washed away. So, a lot of times today, a person can say, well, I was baptized, but for those reasons that I've just mentioned, it's not a scriptural baptism. So they can be a religious person with some baptism in their past, but it's not biblical. We have a similar situation in Acts chapter 19. In Acts chapter 19, when Paul was in Ephesus, he meets some disciples that had followed John the Baptist, and he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we did not so much as hear whether there was a Holy Spirit given. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is, on Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. So here's some people that needed to be baptized again. They had been baptized in John's baptism. Now, before the cross, when John was baptizing, that was a valid baptism that one needed to have in their life. But that baptism ceased when Jesus died on the cross, and later he ascended into heaven. He sent people out not to do John's baptism. It had already run its course. It had already fulfilled its course. Now, this is the baptism of Jesus. This is the baptism of the Great Commission of Jesus. So when Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, that's the baptism that one needs to be baptized in. And that is the baptism into the name of the Lord Jesus. So these folks had been baptized in a baptism that at one time was what God wanted, but not at this time. And so they needed to be baptized again. They lived on this side of the cross, where the baptism of the Great Commission is what Jesus wants, and they submitted to that. So you can be a baptized person and still be lost unless it is the scriptural baptism of Jesus Christ, immersion in water, as someone who's old enough to hear and believe and obey, and it's for the remission of sins. Friends, I'm glad that you've joined us on the program. I don't want us to be uninformed. I don't want us to be ignorant. A person can be really good in all these ways and still be lost. And so I don't want us to go through life with that misunderstanding. And that's why we've had this study from God's Word, and I hope that it'll help you. Having realized that now, if we can help you to be saved according to the gospel plan of salvation, let us help you to do that. Let's not go through life with that misunderstanding, but let's truly be saved. Thank you for joining us on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.